The parable of the bags of gold. Again, it would be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work, and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold bought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has been given more, and they will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or in needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or ill or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
The summer holidays are coming.
Yay!
In fact, for some, they've already arrived. And as we get into the holidays and routines change, some people go away, we might just be asked to look after something while they're away. It might be the class goldfish or teddy bear. It might be to feed our neighbour's cat, or to water someone's plants, or to make sure our neighbour's bins get put back okay. Something's been entrusted to our care, and we're responsible for looking after it for a time. We're asked to act as though the thing entrusted to us is ours, and act in a way that respects the person who's entrusted the thing or tasked to us. In effect, we're being asked to be good stewards. There are many features of stewardship in a church context, like how we look after our building, how we use our resources, people, and finances, how we consider our impact on the environment, and how we can impact our community for good. These relate to what we do collectively and what we do individually, but both are as God's representatives in our community. As you came in, you'll hopefully have been given a short booklet which talks more about stewardship, what this means to us as God's children, how it relates to our time and money, and thoughts about how we might be stewards of what we've been given as a congregation and as individuals, as well as touching on the opportunities we've been given to serve God and our community. I find today's passages, the second one we heard immediately follows the first, I find them powerful and somewhat scary. It's Jesus talking about the end times and how we will all be judged. I don't think we particularly like thinking about that moment when, whether or not we're Christians, we have to face our Maker or at least reflect on what we've done with our lives. As ever, there's a lot in the passage, but it's worth saying that in the first section about the talents, we shouldn't take this simply as a parable about God and how he treats us. Rather, it's more about us and what we do in response to God's gifts. God is always loving and generous and forgives us when we seek it, unlike the man in the story. The first parable reminds us that God has given to us greatly. Some of us, and I think we often only manage to see this in human terms and not God's terms, seem to have been blessed with a great deal. Some of us seem to have many skills and abilities, which may also be accompanied by significant wealth. That's okay, of course, but what is it that we choose to do with these talents and resources which we have? The second part is the big clue as to what we should be doing with these talents. We should be seeking to support and bless and build up others, and especially the poor and neglected, the weary and downtrodden of society. Verse 35, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And as the first parable shows, the key thing is that we constantly have the opportunity to use our gifts. So why would we not? And why would we not seek to bless others through using them? Since by blessing others, we honour Jesus' commandment to love one another as we love ourselves. And in seeking to honour this commandment, we find that God blesses us too. So does this mean all of us here are being instructed to, say, visit people in prison? This passage isn't saying that all of us, all the time, must be doing the specific roles in this list, as though it's a magic formula to get to heaven. But instead, church is made up of all kinds of people with different characteristics, interests, skills, abilities, and gifts. And a truly alive church is one which is likely to demonstrate many facets of care for each other and the community. So although that doesn't let us off doing things with our abilities, it doesn't mean that each of us will do everything. We're a body of Christians, after all. And like the human body, we need all parts to function. We're all important, and all can play our part. A few weeks ago, and for the first time, I helped with the teas and coffees after church. Some of us got an email asking if we might volunteer, as there was no one available from the existing rota of people who regularly give their time in this service. This prompted a few thoughts about stewardship of my time. I don't believe we need to think we have one role, and one role only that God has given us, and one role that God can and will use us in. Person who welcomes on the door, tidies up, stacks chairs, leads prayers in a service, plays in the band, preaches, helps out at Christmas or Easter, drops invitation cards through people's doors, volunteers at the food bank. We simply offer ourselves. We don't need to be defined by one thing. We don't have to have one label attached to us, or to worry that we have to find that one thing that God wants us to do. I also think that God has unexpected plans for us. If we're prepared to get out of our comfort zone and offer ourselves where and when there is need, my experience is that God uses us and we learn new things about ourselves. We also often get to meet different people in the church and community, which I find exciting and interesting. And if working alongside other people is less your thing, there are plenty of skills required which are more behind-the-scenes types of activity. Don't limit yourself to what you traditionally view as being good, as yourself being good or bad at. God is more about the big picture. He's interested in the three-dimensional you. He does, after all, know us better than we know ourselves, and exactly how we tick. Will you offer all of you for God to use, and not just some of the parts of your life? Invariably, when I've had the chance to preach, it's a huge opportunity for me to learn, let alone what I pray God may be able to say through what I preach. We're all united by being part of this church and part of this community, even if you feel that you don't always have as much in common with other people in this building as you'd like. We're all God's children. And so let's be good stewards of what God has given us and use these abilities to serve each other and this community. Whether we receive thanks and credit from each other for what we do, which I hope we do, is receiving appreciation is always encouraging. God sees our hearts and attitudes and knows what we do. In whatever we do, may we all have an attitude of service to God and to each other as we seek to bring the kingdom of God a bit closer in this little bit of London. And may this church be known as a place where we truly put into practice Jesus' command to love one another as he loves us through the use of our talents and resources.